Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 243, episode 1 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Monday, June 27th, 2022. It's National Fuck This Nation Day.
Yeah, I mean, that's all the time. But it's actually National Sunglasses Day.
Hell yeah.
You got to protect your eyes. I only recently, like, after getting LASIK, they're like, you know, you got to protect your eyes from UV rays. I'm like, all right, so squinting isn't enough. Also, National Onion Day. You have to fuck with onions. Day is for you.
I sent my four-year-old to camp today with sunglasses on, which he thought made him impossible to identify. Like, he thought he was fully undercover.
Oh, like a Groucho Marx kind of thing?
Yeah. Okay. But sunglasses on a kid is always a good time.
And you know,
they're always kind of groping around and shit. Like, they don't.
Right.
And they can't really see.
Those shits will be lost within 24 hours.
Yeah. And it sucks because they're $300 sunglasses, you know? I like to give them the best.
They're rhinestoned Gucci sunglasses that J-Lo wore back in 03.
Yeah. Anyways, my name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. New Dudes. I love the news I drop to be part of the Blast Baja. Ever wonder if it's all for due? The spark I love, there's flaming hot typhoon and mango jam Baja. Come and tell me when there's do news. A little Red Hot Chili Peppers from Garden Wizard. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Nancy Pelosi, please just don't read a poem in response to everything that's happening. That does not feel like the kind of leadership that is required at the moment.
Is that what she did?
Oh, yeah. Off rip. Just like, let me hit y'all with a poem real quick. Mm-hmm. People's rights are vanishing. Allow this perfect time.
Allow me to share some poetry with you.
Or the other amazing moment was on Friday, House Democrats were singing God Bless America on the Capitol steps while people were protesting, like, over the Supreme Court. And you're like, I'm sorry. We're fighting fascism with song now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One of the greats, though. God bless America, you know. There we go.
100%.
All right. Well, today we are joined by a very funny stand-up comedian who was the first Indian-American writer for Saturday Night Live. It is the brilliant, the talented Nimesh Patel!
Nimesh!
What's up? What's up? I feel like I should have a song intro myself.
You got a karaoke song?
It's Mary J. Blige's "I'm Going Down."
That's my go-to shit!
Wow!
Karaoke. It's I can't sing for shit.
Yeah,
that song makes the emotion come out. You know?
Oh yeah!
It's beautiful.
You got that
song.
Deep bassy voice.
I know, like when you ain't around, baby.
I would like to hear
my whole world.
How much alcohol you got?
You know? or you really hitting the falsetto? You're like, nah.
It used to be R. Kelly's "I Believe I Can Fly," but we can't do that no more.
Yeah. That one's not getting as many good responses. "I'm Going Down" will always. That's just like one of those that's one of those songs that if you're doing it like in a public karaoke versus like in a room of friends, it will usually get other people being like,
Yeah, it's beautiful. People who like grown ass man crying.
Oh yeah.
And it doesn't allow you to go halfway in. You can't mumble your way through that one.
Oh, hell no.
You just got to go all in. So, yeah, which is the sign of a good karaoke song. You really need one that brings you out of
investment.
Yeah. All right. Well, Nimesh, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about, you know, what's the media role in all this? Like, you know, we're about to get hit with tons of fundraising texts and emails from Democrats and a lot of people telling us to just vote, which would work if this wasn't a failed state. But the other thing that I think people are going to gravitate towards is turning on the news and watching CNN or, you know, your MSNBC. So we're going to talk about like their role in that, where what you can and cannot learn in
from the
American
TV.
Corporate media. We're going to talk about the tech nightmare looming in post-Roe America. We'll talk about Snowflake Mountain, a new reality show on Netflix.
Oh, man. It's wild.
Yeah. The title.
I got through an episode and a half.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Because the second I saw that trailer, I'm like, what kind of fucking wild, like barely coded shit is this? And it's fucking, I'm like, we'll get to it. I definitely have my thoughts.
We also saw Elvis, or you walked out halfway through. I made it all the way through, Miles. I think you had something else to do, so you knew you were gonna have to leave early, but felt like it wasn't that hard.
When Elvis went, oh my God, Dr. King.
Yeah.
Dr. King was right. I'm like, I'm sorry. Oh, they did a lot. They did a lot of interesting stuff with that Elvis.
Yo, it is a very strange movie. Tom Hanks's strangest performance by far. Did you see that thing I sent around of like what the guy actually talked like?
No, I didn't actually click the thing, but I saw everybody's commentary that he didn't have any like real thick Dutch accent.
So Tom Hanks goes into this movie playing like Elvis's right-hand man, scam lord, Colonel Tom something.
Tom Parker or something.
Yeah. And he talks like this and is like, I am Elvis's man and I discover Elvis. And then you see a video of the guy and he's like, yeah, well, I discovered Elvis and that's just how it was. And so he was a con man who claimed he was from West Virginia, was actually from the Netherlands. But the fact that he has such a thick accent just makes it so confusing, because at like one point FBI investigates him and like shows him, they're like, we've discovered you're not really from West Virginia. It's like, yeah, no shit. He's been like, what are you talking about, comrade?
I love gold.
It's so weird. Anyways, Nimesh, I'm sure you have not seen Elvis yet. We rushed out. It is a fever dream. And as Miles pointed out, they also rewrite history. So Elvis is just like, I don't know.
Elvis was adopted. Like it started off like The Jerk, where he's like, I was raised a poor black boy.
Yeah.
And you're like, exactly. Wait, what the fuck is this? What's going on here?
It's pretty wild.
You stole that from Ray Charles too.
Yeah.
Right.
But Nimesh, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Uplift desk is the last thing I searched for.
Uplift?
Standing desk.
Been, it's a brand of standing desk, and I've been sitting with my shoulders slouched, and this time I make a change as a 36-year-old man, start standing on my feet, and try to correct my posture.
I feel that.
I don't know what that says about me. I mean, I'm boring and I work at a desk all day. But
you're listening to your body at the very least, right? And your body's telling me like, yo, bro, we got to do something fucking different, man, quickly.
My elbows hurt. They shouldn't hurt.
Your elbows hurt?
You playing tennis or something?
Yeah.
No.
it's just resting on fucking
just resting.
Oh, goddamn. Yeah,
too much elbow resting going on.
Yep.
Repetitive stress elbow resting.
Yep.
What's something you think is overrated?
Old people. Old people are trash, man. I mean, if this past weekend's any indication, old people are trash and they need to go.
Yeah. Well, it's an odd bunch we have in DC where this whole time they spend in like the Capitol is about proving to themselves that they're still potent.
Right.
And part of that is being like, nah, this is at everyone's expense that y'all aren't just be able to be like, yep, time for me to fucking sit the fuck down because I have no idea what life is like in 2020. I know more so what life would be in 1920.
Yeah. Who knew the most dangerous movie made of the past 40 years would be Space Cowboys, inspiring the elderly to still do it?
And yeah.
Turns out they could and should not.
Just constantly every single problem we have is like the commentary you get from people just reveals further how disconnected they are from it all. Like Jim Clyburn, who's like the House Whip for the Democrats, his comment on the Roe decision was it was kind of anticlimactic. So, you know, we'll see what we can do. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry.
Wait, what?
Okay. And I tweeted, I'm like, yeah, 7,000-year-old man, very chill about the overturning of Roe.
It wasn't orgasmic enough for him. He didn't have a big release. I don't know either,
but it's almost like, okay, well, if he was anticlimactic, were you guys in the lab like anticipating this happening because you knew it was going to happen and you have a response, or it's just poems and songs?
Biden addressed the country. We are recording this like the day that the Roe news dropped, I guess would probably be like helpful information for people. So like you probably hear some still grappling with it, not knowing exactly what has been said. It does seem like, you know, that there were some headlines with the Collinses and the Mansions being like, we're disappointed. We're ticked off that these guys lied to us, but nothing to suggest. And therefore, we're going to like pack the court or do something to address what is obviously a massive emergency.
They've pivoted to your rights are on the ballot in November.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's true. It is definitely not yours
because
none of y'all's rights are at risk.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think the first thing that people have to do is like obviously support a lot of these like organizations that are going to be carrying the load of providing people with like self or safe abortion access. And the other part I think too is I see a lot of people like a lot of like big D Democrat type accounts on Twitter just like grappling like it's like every failure like wait but they just said guns were fine but the guns can't be determined by the state but abortion access can. Well, what's going on here without kind of arriving to this point to say this whole thing has been overrun by like moneyed interests and that's kind of the game we're in and this idea of like who do we vote for? It's like that's just spectacle.
I'm trying to trace the money here. I'm always like a follow the money guy. And I'm just wondering, I'd love to hear your thoughts on where do you just said this is all rooted in money interest. Who's making money off of it? Like who's making money off of abortion being banned?
Well, I think part of it too is like there is an internal memo from like Amazon, for example, that says they're running out of labor to exploit in the country. And if we're like, so part of that is you can, by restricting abortion access, you're creating more people to be exploited under this system of like, hey, just so you know, if you don't have a job, like you basically don't have a right to live. So you've now bought into this thing of like, now come work for us. And I think on top of that, you know, you look at people like the Koch brothers, their whole thing is to create like this America where there are no regulations and then they can just run the board like, and, you know, put people to work in ways that there are no protections, et cetera. So it benefits to have a constantly growing population. Like population contraction is like one of those things that, like, you know, economic forecasters are like, whoa, who are you going to exploit now? And to have a steady pool of that is like one dimension of that. But then you also marry that with billionaires and people who just have a completely fucked worldview. And they realize, oh, shit, if I spend a lot of money, like, I can functionally write fucking laws. So, now I'm going to get off on, like, my little God complex by doing that as well. I mean, like, some things do have a profit sort of motive, and other things are just for people to, like, manifest their tortured worldview on onto us.
And inequality is not a byproduct of their worldview. It is their world. Like, they want inequality, and, like, that is what the end result of this is going to be. The people who suffer from this are the people who don't have the money or the means or the social network to get healthcare, like, on their own.
And, yeah, desperate people are more likely to take a terrible deal. You know?
But, like, it's also the white supremacy and the, you know, the classism and all the just, like, darkest shit, like, that is present and constant at, like, the highest levels that we, like, don't. There's a guy named Leo Leonard who basically was the main point person on this. You know, he put together all the different funds and PACs and dark money things to fund the confirmation of the Supreme Court justices and, you know, like, just keep the thing going. But he just, like, changed the name of the thing because they don't want us to know that they exist. It went from like
judicial crisis network
to Concord Group or some shit like that, that is just designed to, like, fall directly out of your head immediately.
The best colorway of the Jordan 11 sneaker. You know? So, like, let's just bring it back to something we can all feel good about.
Yeah.
Leonard Leo. That's a movie villain name if I ever heard one.
Seriously.
Right. Yeah. Leonard Leo. A real piece of shit that most people probably haven't heard of.
So that's the long game these billionaires got going on, is create more worker ants.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, right, if you are like a billionaire, the world you want is one where nobody's telling you how to run your business. And if nobody's telling you how to run your business, you can do whatever the fuck you have to maximize your profit margins. And that means unsafe workplaces, ridiculous hours and demands from workers and things like that. And that's why, that's like why every goal is to just erode the sort of powers that the federal government has on any level to sort of be like, well, hold on. Y'all can't just be fucking people over like this. And they're like, what if I told you I don't like you talking to me? And how about I put a bunch of people in office now that will do everything in their power to strip away these things? Because that's what the Supreme Court's doing now. They're like, oh, that ain't a right. Miranda rights?
And white supremacist, misogynist men have all the money, right? And this is a protection that we had from, like, what has been a status quo, like the misogyny and the, you know, just brutal treatment of women and, you know, restriction of women's rights. Like, that was, like, one of the things that made this hit home for me. Like, Wired published an obit for Roe. It was like, Roe stood for 49 years. It revolutionized life for women. The national right to abortion pushed back the age of childbearing, increased college and workforce participation, and created economically stable families. And, like, just that being in the past tense, it's like, oh yeah, like, this is not a given. And in fact, now it's been taken away. That was a period with an exclamation point on the end of it. And, you know, the money and power being concentrated and being used to mistreat women and, you know, people who are different than them is, like, probably more common than the opposite, the periods where, like, the rights of those people are protected. So, like, I don't know, that's a very, like, dark way to view it, but that does feel,
you,
like,
put cishet Christian, like, white men at the top of the pyramid, and that's just what it, you know, everything's about. Like, let's make sure we maintain that spot there, and we can now, you know, begin to exercise whatever control against other groups, marginalized groups, that we need to sort of ensure that, because typically the groups that they like to go after are the ones that are pretty vocal about the, you know, lopsided nature of, I guess, hegemonic power in this country.
So that was your overrated? What is your underrated?
This is old people shit, but I think underrated is writing by hand. Everyone's on their phone. I've been writing by hand for forever, and I feel like it's a dying art. Even I catch myself like on my notes apps and all that kind of shit, just typing away, and I'm like, I gotta get back to the paper, because like there's nothing like scribbling in the margin and drawing random shit when you don't have anything to write. Writing by hand,
yeah,
underrated. People need to do it. Get a standing desk to do it.
I got a legal pad right here with a big fat shark drawn on it. So I feel you.
Yeah, big shark. You know, I know about my handwriting.
My handwriting sucks. But
Jack, where are your pen tricks at?
My pen tricks are. I used to be able to spin it around on my thumb, like the very first like training that wheels one. Version of that.
Yeah,
and. And then I don't know. I have what's called an intention tremor, where like my hands get shaky, and then like a few times I, you know, had to go to the hospital with a pen in my eye, and so I decided to stop. Stop doing
once?
It. Ah, you know, it's
why is he on trial, huh?
Get off my back! All right,
yeah. My bad, man.
Man, you're the guest, man. I should ask you the question. How come you were poking yourself in the eye with a pen a bunch? What?
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the hellscape that we find ourselves in right now.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And yeah, so we know the Democrat texts are coming, the fundraising, the emails, the your rights are on the ballot this November.
Not ours, Biden, though. Not ours. Right.
Your rights.
Yours. I'm old and I don't have a uterus and I'm a millionaire. Right. So right. That's just on you.
We're good over here, but...
And I'm going to die in like 15 minutes. So you think I give a fuck about a drought? Come on now. Anyway, but yeah, that's sort of that we are, it's like clockwork. It's already happening. And, you know, all of these things insisting that voting them out is the key. We must vote them out. And like you're saying, if this were a functioning democracy, then yeah, that might work. But like, you know, at this point, I feel like the more you look at it and how empty the gestures are from politicians, despite just the rolling back of rights that we're seeing, like just, you know, more rights for guns this last week than for human beings. It's like, you know, electoralism, DC politics, it's just this spectacle to distract us from the fact that like the real decisions are dictated by capital, essentially, you know, not the needs of people. If that were the case, we would have had functioning healthcare in this country for people. We wouldn't just be like, yeah, man, if you can't, if you're too poor to work, don't worry about it. We're not going to just force you to live on the street and then fend for yourself. But, you know, as expected, the Supreme Court overturned Roe, and Clarence Thomas made it clear also that this is also opening the door for overturning gay marriage and like contraception and the like. So people are going to wonder, you know, how did this happen? What can be done? And most people, like my parents, most people just in general, turn on the TV and most likely land on a news network that actually has no interest in informing people like what's actually happening, because that's not how the news functions anymore. And I think that's a big thing that like a lot of Americans need to grapple with, even though this has been the case for a while, that
we've
these
been
are
it over. Like, I feel like we've had plenty of evidence for it for a long time. And we've like, I've just even like, even though I've been saying it, like just more and more, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, they don't give a fuck at all.
When I was at SNL, it was, you know, just a deluge of news every day. And just watching it and trying to see where their objective, there's zero objectivity in any of it, or zero interest in trying to inform people. It's always like everything's breaking news, everything's fear mongering, everything's like, pay attention.
It's
to
a
us.
Product.
And also, buy Colgate. You know, that's all it is.
And, you know, I think the thing that we have, I think the way to look at it is that these are for-profit companies chasing ad dollars.
Yes.
That means these aren't news organizations. Like, that was a long time ago when we had news organizations. What we see on television are profit-minded companies doing business with other profit-minded companies. That's the main business. It's not, the news is like an afterthought. It's not about telling the truth. And the truth is, we're in total free fall as a country, and we're willing to side with arms manufacturers at the expense of, you know, the lives of children. We treat life as disposable, and we are now at the will of concepts like shareholder value. And like, that's what's moving policy. That's kind of where you'd hope that news would tell people is what's going on at the moment.
It's so bizarre to be a part of like a real podcast and have it sound like a conspiracy theory podcast. You know,
right.
The news is in cahoots with fucking Colgate Palmolive
exactly,
and Zillow and all.
And, you know, and to their credit, media has done a good job to make conversations like this sound so fringe and out of touch with reality that most people's instant reaction is like, yeah, right. It's like all of these like spooky billionaires, right? Well, yeah, it kind of is for a lot of these issues that we're experiencing. And, you know, I think, Like we're saying, it's the things that are discussed on television, like, it's not to inform, again, it's just to kind of perpetuate this sort of like mirage of like, just focus on these smaller things without kind of looking up towards the upper echelons of society where like the money is moving and the people who make the decisions on what's on TV, who they speak to, who they are influenced by. And I just want to point at like CNN, the American Prospect also was, you know, did a great job of like sort of bringing attention to this. Like, CNN's made a lot of noise recently because they're like, you know, Zucker's out. They've brought in this guy, Chris Licht or Liked. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. He's a talk show producer. That's his background. A talk show producer is now running CNN, is their new head. And he's been letting advertisers know, like at upfronts and things like that, like using the word extreme, like we're trying to get away from like extreme views and things like that. And CNN's main investor is a man named John Malone. He is America's largest landowner. He's a fucking Republican. He's a Trump humper. And you think this man who is at the, who has the like huge stake in the company that's running CNN, you think he is interested in telling American people that like his cohort is the reason there's no affordable housing or any other thing? Fuck no. So we're not going to get that shit from anything like that. But this whole new CNN rebrand push is really easy to wrap your head around it when, again, you just look at the fucking money. The parent company of CNN, Warner Brothers Discovery, is in about $59 billion worth of debt. Okay. Fox News made over $12 billion in revenue last year. CNN, less than $2 billion. So these motherfuckers are looking over there being like, damn, we leaving a lot of racist money on the table.
Yeah.
A lot. And I feel like we should be in that scrap for that big. How the fuck they getting $12 billion and we're getting two? Because we have people on who are saying stuff like white supremacy out loud on television, and that's off-putting to people.
Maybe it's we gotta, us liberals gotta spend more money on and watch the CNN shit, and hopefully maybe we'll buy Kias or whatever the fuck it is that the opposite of whatever they're selling on Fox News.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they'd love. They'd love for people to come to that conclusion. It's like, well, guys, maybe if we bought some more shit, we'd have access right to healthcare. But
I mean, it is kind of crazy. Like when you look at who advertises on CNN versus who advertises on Fox News, the fact that Fox made that much more money, like, just really emphasizes how much better of a job they're doing at drawing an audience. Because like Fox News is like advertisements for like gold and catheters, and CNN like has actual brands. It's like the right-wing media tells the truth that like racist people believe in and want to believe in. The corporate media tells the truth that like billionaires and corporations want to believe in, but like no real actual people believe in. But it's still like corporate friendly and brand friendly, like to a degree that like they get much better sponsorship. But like that's there's only a few, like, to your point, like you sound crazy in America by saying the actual truth. Like that makes you sound fringe at
right
this point.
Absolutely. To be like, well, their parent company's in $59 billion worth of debt. And they're like, so what? I'm like, do you know how these people talk? Like,
yeah,
I'll play you a clip of this guy, John Malone, who is, again, America's largest fucking private landowner,
private property
on top of all this shit. Just to hear him talk about how he looks at, you know, this is him talking about the potential of being able to basically call the shots at CNN. And just listen to how this man even views what news is, because I think it's very fucking instructive.
Well, you know, I guess I could be partially blamed for the creation of a lot of news networks, including yours.
But, yes, I know
that. Certainly Fox News, I think, in my opinion, has followed an interesting trajectory of trying to have news, I mean, some actual journalism embedded in a program schedule of all opinions. And I think they've been relatively successful with that, with a service like Brett Baer and Britt Hume before him, that tried to distinguish news from opinion. I would like to see CNN evolve back to the kind of journalism that it started with, and you know, actually have journalists.
Okay, so sounds like he's saying, like, man, they could use some real Fox Newsing over there at CNN.
Yeah,
this was like before all this actually became official. Since it all happened, there's a lot of talk about how quote unquote extreme views are going to try and be like purged from the network. But they're like, what the fuck does that even mean? And this guy, Chris Licht, who's like the talk show producer, is now running CNN, says, quote, "We are truth tellers focused on informing, not alarming our viewers." So I'd imagine anyone who says anything alarming will be considered someone who might not be so friendly to the brand. But we're living in terribly fucked up times.
But isn't that what Fox News does, though? Aren't they pro extreme shit, and that's what's made them so successful?
100%. But I think the language he's using is trying to almost say, like, objectively what they're doing is like just this, like, they've got their opinion and then they have news, and that's right why they're doing so well. And it's like, glossed over the entire part you're talking about, Nimesh, which is like, no, they're pumping out this wild, like, dramatic shit for people to just like get incensed by watching.
Yeah, it sounds like they're trying to position themselves as like, well, there's got to be like right-wing people who don't respond to like the Fox News craziness, so we'll like just move more towards them. Like they're trying, it sounds like they're like trying to be, you know, still hold down the center like viewpoint, even though Fox is moving more and more to the right. And so like anybody who is telling the truth becomes an extremist in that environment, because Fox, which is completely outside of the realms of reality, is like one of the things that you are using to determine where the middle is, right?
Yeah, I understood that. Yeah, and okay. That's right.
I think, like, you know, it's really important to note that by having their hands all over media, by Bezos owning like the Washington Post, having John Malone at CNN, just like the numerous people who have their hands on different media outlets, the biggest thing, the biggest fear that this like billionaire class of people has is, aside from the Bezos types, but like the John Malone types and things like that, is that people will begin to connect the dots that their money is actually somehow influencing things. They pay a lot of money to keep themselves out of the conversation. And the biggest fear is that the conversation is going to shift to, well, who's moving all these piles of cash around that end up putting people in office that change laws and things like that? And because of that, I think, you know, that's one of the best functions so far that media has provided in service of this class of people, which is to completely make us confused as to who's running the show. Because right now people are experiencing a thing of like, but I voted for these people and they said they'd do it and they didn't.
Right.
Who is in power? Aren't they in power? And the next thing is, well, you know, who are the lobbyists that package their donations so they can stay in office? And then who's putting that money in the lobbyists' pockets, and so on and so forth. And I think the biggest issue a lot of Americans have is people right now in the confusion, in the fog of war, they're fighting an invisible enemy.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to do. They're just feeling punches and kicks and shit like that. And I think there's something that is a lot more heartening to somebody. At the very least, if you can begin to outline what exactly is the forces that are pressing back, because we have a lot of disconnected ideas and presentations of what's happening. That again just furthers, I think, a lot of like the confusion that people experience.
I think you give a lot of credit to the American media consumer in thinking they're just lazy. I think it's just no one's inquisitive enough to understand what's going on. No one really gives a shit. And I was like, hey, well, I'm just speaking from my own personal take on shit. Like, sure, I know how the lobbyists are connected to the senator or the congressperson. And sure, I know where which billionaire is giving money to which cause. Like, I can tell you the Koch brothers are definitely involved in spreading whatever is fake news about what's going on in agriculture, but it's like, what am I actually going to do? And then and then it becomes,
I think,
that
yeah.
that fatigue is old, kind of just like, all right, well, yeah, the old people are going to old for a while. They're going to keep fucking shit up. It's like, it's either apply for an Australian visa or just, you know, see where this goes, and hopefully I get rich enough that this doesn't matter to me.
Right. I think that's the thing that is holding people back is not stupidity or willful laziness. It's the what am I going to do? And the fact that this version of reality that is like everything is actually run by all these complex like movements of money that just immediately put my brain to sleep and like make me want to jump out a window, like rather than like read more information about that shit. I'm like, that is all there to make it so that like we don't give a shit, and there's no alternative to this. Like we talk about it a lot as like the reason that people can't get behind a revolutionary ideology or like can't picture anything other than like a post-apocalyptic movie, it seems. Yeah. Like, because like it's like, well, it's either like what we have right now or it's fucking Mad Max. Like that's all we can do.
That's what it feels like. It feels like a steady decline towards that apocalyptic world, and us on the upwardly mobile side are just trying to claw out of this black hole that's sucking us in before it sucks us in. You know what I mean? Like that, I could see that's where we're going. I don't know if it's gonna be my generation or our generation, or like the next one or two of them down the line, but at some point it's gonna be us versus them. It's and the goal is to join us before it becomes them. You know what I mean? Like I don't know if that tracks, but that's where it feels like we're going. I'm sorry it seems so bleak on this Monday podcast for the week, but
the what am I going to do? I think you really summed up how a lot of people feel right now.
And again, that's why you, most people say, "What am like to your point about what the media does?" You say, "What am I going to do?" The TV is not going to fucking tell you to get in the streets or right. that revolutionary action is needed.
Right?
They're going to say, "Man, we got to get these Republicans out, huh?"
Yeah.
And that serves its purpose to just sort of keep the status quo going and not to begin to like give people the idea that there could possibly be other options. That there could there may need to be other ways to collectively work towards a goal, whether that's like maybe just by focusing on your immediate community or like peer-to-peer support. But in that sense, there isn't much when you're up against like billions of dollars. It's true. There isn't really much you can do because of all of the levers that like, you know, these people are in control of. And I think that's an interesting, I don't know. I think that's a hard pill to swallow.
I think these capital stormers had it right. Just went for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
No, and I think that's why a lot of people said, could you imagine people doing that for healthcare? It would have been a bloodbath.
Yeah, they would have killed us all.
And I think that's also another thing that's revealed in like watching all this shit play out over and over. You're like, okay, we live in a white supremacist capitalist patriarchy that is violently homophobic and wanting to be like a Christian theocracy. And that's,
damn, that's an opening to the new Matrix movie. It feels like
that was actually one of the first things like a philosophy teacher said to me, like in college. They just wrote that shit on the blackboard,
right?
Like, if you look at another way that like you can just track like what the media and like the people who pay for the media are actually worried about, like, look, first of all, their headlines are like U.S. braces for violence against conservatives, pro-life groups with Supreme Court's abortion ruling. Meanwhile, like the last 2 years have seen a rise in violence against abortion providers and people seeking abortions. Like that's actually how things work. But like, you don't hear about that side of it. You just hear, it's like all, it's the same with like amidst like these horrifying mass shootings of people of color around America. Like that got attention. But like, I feel like the person who had thoughts of harming Brett Kavanaugh like got also a ton of attention to like prepare us for this moment. So we had in our mind like, well, guys, it's just like balls and strikes, and like we, you know, we shouldn't be protesting in the streets because that's not fair. And look what almost happened to Brett Kavanaugh. And like that's because that's who they're protecting. Like that's who they want to ultimately protect, I feel like.
Yeah. I just think, you know, I think the biggest thing immediately is I mean, it seems like Democrats, they're really easy to shame sometimes because like all they do is operate from this fear of like wanting to be liked by the right, because I feel like there's so much capitulation to it being like, well, I don't want to get them all riled up. I don't know how they're going to now. I mean, they're going to probably get through this midterms again on being like, hey, we're holding all these existential threats above your head to get your vote. But at a certain point, you know, and I think the biggest conversation that needs to occur is how people in general like choose for a person to support. If you're even looking to electoral politics to like be some kind of solution to this, because most people are blindly just like, I don't know, what team are they on? Right. And without sort of zooming out a little bit to say like both are not offering like the real kinds of tangible results that people are needing to, you know, live a safe and productive life.
Well, that's how I vote. I see which team people are on, do a little cursory research. And then the team that I'm on, because I mean, for all of the faults that the Democrats have, they're not the Republicans.
Right.
Yeah. And they're campaigning on that.
that's been good enough for, I think, a long time. That was good enough for me for a long time.
You know, it's a hard pill to swallow. Be like, and I know this is American politics and it's been said a billion times, it's just choosing the lesser of the two evils. Because I mean, it's no one presented in the last, you know, 20 years has been, I mean, minus AOC, who's like a beacon of hope to me, and I'm sure she has her flaws, but no one presented has ever struck me as anyone worth voting for on either side. But the Democrats like are pro women and like pro minority, so I'll go with them.
I mean, even then, right? I could say well, then where are they at?
Right.
You know, because, and I think that's the issue that we run up against is like, we feel that the choices are, you know, shit sandwich or shit sandwich with like a rainbow flag. Right. And then thinking that that's the best we can do. And we allow for this like incrementalism to continue to put more people at risk. Because as we say this, right, police are killing just as many people in the streets, despite mm-hmm. what the Democrats did, taking a knee and having a kente cloth on and doing shit like that. They didn't actually go to bat to do anything that would actually keep people of color safe. Or you look at what, you know, only recently has the Department of Education began to say something about protecting LGBTQ students and things like that. There's so much that when push comes to shove, they'll only do it if they absolutely have to or if it's beneficial. And I think that's the thing that we have to realize is like the opportunism of like a lot of the politicians. And yeah, and I think it's a hard thing to say, well, what can we just vote in more people who don't take corporate money? But then again, they're fighting in a system where being on TV and market saturation can really help push an election. And I, you know, I reference Rick Caruso in LA, who's a Republican, spent $40 million and is within spitting distance of like becoming mayor. At the end of the day, you can be such a backwards candidate, but if you have enough money, you can, again, like you're saying, it's hard for people to sort of be wowed or amazed by what's coming on TV and take that as like being like, oh, well, I see this person a lot. That's enough to inform me. This is a direction to move. And I think that's a really underrated part of like how even people that might ignore TV just from the saturation begin to be like, oh, I'm familiar now. I'm familiar with that. And that sounds fine enough. And Snoop Dogg backed them. So,
yeah. Well, Snoop Dogg's also backing like NFTs and shit. I do just want to say, like, to back to the point about like sounding like a conspiracy theorist. The day after the election, the New York Times wrote a piece about how Caruso had basically like won the election and, you know, had delivered a sharp rebuke to anybody who was like pushing towards police reform. And Karen Bass beat him in the primary. That's not like the actual election, but she did beat him, which is like the direct opposite. And also like a bunch of pro-reform candidates won the New York Times. So I'm going to keep bringing this up until the New York Times like issues a fucking correction and like says how they got to the point where they had the voting results exactly wrong. But the only place that people have actually been like, wait, progressives did incredibly well in Los Angeles and Caruso didn't do that well considering how much money he spent, was a column in the LA Times. Other than that, it's just like, again, things that you would think are fringe, but like it's down to reporting the actual results of votes. Like they don't even acknowledge when the thing that they want to happen doesn't happen. They just tell the story. And that's the fucking New York Times. Myself a year ago would look at myself now and be like, that person is crazy. But that is built on just paying attention to what is actually happening right now. And it's just completely, falling apart. All right, let's take a quick break. It's a big news day, so we do have to talk about Snowflake Mountain. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back, and there is a new Netflix reality show called Snowflake Mountain. I haven't watched it. It seems like it's pretty, like the title and the premise all kind of are aligned. And Miles, you watched an episode and a half.
Do you think it's propaganda based off that title, based on what you've seen so far?
It feels like it might be. So basically the premise, Snowflake Mountain, you get people who are raised in cities, put them in a survivalist situation, and have them like bossed around by like some army rangers. Is that essentially the conceit? And like make them look like idiots while the army people are correct.
Yeah. It's wild because for the snowflakes, it's mostly people of color and women.
Right.
It's wild how like they're trying to be like, so this is what a snowflake is. It's a dude with long hair. Like the one white guy like dresses like an NFT. So they're like, you know, he's freaky and he a snowflake. And you're like, what the fuck is this? And then it's like, then there's this black woman. Then there's this other black woman. I was like, damn, wow, look at all these people of color on this show. And I'm like, oh, right. Because you're
suddenly
trying to say
representation.
That their snowflakery is like an attribute to who they are. And the only two people that can help them are representatives of the military industrial complex. Like, I was explosive ordnance disposal, you know, like the Hurt Locker is literally what the one dude says. And he's like, and nice. I was a combat engineer for the army. And they're like, we're gonna show them how to like really live. And you're like, oh my god, this is basically right America trying to just smash the fuck out of people that look slightly outside of like mainstream, boring, you know, Main Street USA type
but
shit.
They put them in like the wilderness.
No, it's like simply like, okay, guys, like the first thing is like, you need to take your essentials. That's all you're going to be able to take with you. And a lot of these people packed because they thought they're going to be on a reality show and shit. Uh-huh. And they're like, I need my toner and my highlighter. And like, that's how they're making jokes, because at first, that's what they want to do is make people be like, look at these people. They can't live out in the forest, out in the woods. They're completely upside down because they're snowflakes. And I guess for some people, again, if you're like looking at shit critically, you're like, oh my god, this is a fucking hit piece. Like, this isn't a fucking show. This isn't about snowflakes.
It sounds very meta.
Yeah. I think it's indicative of like sort of where they feel that their audience is too, where they're like, we're on the side of pointing our fingers at quote unquote snowflakes and laughing. That's like a very conservative thing. Like, that's not, you know, like liberals or people on the left use it like ironically, because that's like a term that conservatives have used all the time for people who like give a fuck about human rights. And that's just kind of, you know, it's like, it's so clear in all the messaging. You're like, all right, you got it. Two military guys versus creepy people of color, LGBTQ people who don't dress in Wrangler jeans.
One of the hosts claims that the contestants, quote, just want handouts. And one of the contestants is a 19-year-old woman who parties 24/7 is like her description. The other says her only contribution to society is being a vegan. They portray a black man named Carl playing basketball, and he's like, I dropped out of college, and then they like cut away without any without telling the story. They just like
The viewers at home saying it's typical.
This, right. That's what they want. Yeah.
When they were showing like a panning shot of the group, that dude was spinning a basketball on his finger like some Harlem Globetrotters commercial, like cartoon. They're like, and then there's the black guy with the basketball. And you're like, this shit is like, it looks like it was written by like Greg Gutfeld or some shit. Somebody at Fox who was like, this is what a snowflake is. It's a blue hair man and this black woman. And it's just like, and but the thing that the one uniting factor that they do have to make it like, you know, just wild reality TV is, that these people are like overly dependent on their parents for sure, like across the board. And really it should be called like people who are completely unable to be independent mountain rather than like snowflakes. You know what I mean? Like Biden lover type people.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to get views.
It is.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
And it feels like we are officially like the we're in the 80s. Like this is the 80s over again. This is like there's a Democrat in the White House, like the right is ascendant in culture and all these different places, and like we just need to accept that. Like this is Alex P. Keaton shit. Like this is going to be like mainstream cool, and it's a fucking nightmare. But like I really think we're in the dark ages.
There's a lot, a lot big rightward shift, and then this is on the heels of Netflix. You know, again, follow the money. Netflix, they're bleeding cash. They just fired a bunch more people.
Right.
And they're like, fuck it, man. Let's scoop up some of this conservative money off the table.
Yeah.
Let's get people like that. We double down on like whatever the fuck we're talking, whatever the controversy du jour is. And they probably realize that that is going to help their business. Because on top of this, they're also being like, maybe we can bring ads into it. And a lot of people have been like, I'm out of here. Like if there's ads. But again, I think it does show that they're seeing like a way to energize some kind of consumer base, like with this content, rather than them being like, we think this show is fucking good. We're like, no, oh shit, motherfuckers will buy this. Okay, crank it out.
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck what
it
does.
Cheap as fuck, I bet.
Yeah.
Well, Nimesh, it's been such a pleasure having you on TDZ. Where can people find you, follow you, watch your special, all that good shit?
My special is called Thank You China. It's on YouTube. And it's not some tongue in cheek shit. It's I'm literally thanking them for the fact that TikTok has changed my life. I've been on tour from TikTok, like doing stand up for a year and a half now. So my tour ends in January 2023, and it would not have been without the advent that is TikTok and that crazy algorithm that gets it to everybody. So again, the special is called Thank You China. It's on YouTube. You can find me on Instagram at Finding Nimesh. Twitter on Finding Nimesh and all that shit.
Nice. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just discovered this guy. His IG is eggs.tyrone. He overlays like Slick Rick over like people that are definitely not dancing to Slick Rick. It's like a group of like 8 people doing some kind of Middle Eastern dance, but it's the Slick Rick. And for whatever reason, it just hits me as so funny when you put someone's on like perfectly timed dance moves to a song that they're definitely not dancing. Check it out. It just brings me joy. Nice. It's like, oh man, that's fucking smooth editing right there.
Right.
Eggs.tyrone.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Check out, obviously, Miles and Jack got Mad Boosties, the basketball podcast, and also 420 Day Fiance if you like 90 Day and weed. And let's see some tweets that I like. One comes from at Unburnt Witch. Zoe Quinn tweeted, quote unquote, please vote, buddy. 5 out of 9 sitting justices were appointed for life by presidents who lost the popular vote, and the Democrats are in power after picking their candidate based on whose turn they thought it was because it was a blue no matter who year. Who else you got? there's just so many frustrated tweets, that are, you know, that are just like sort of rumbling out there. And one other one. Oh, this one. Okay, there was a versus battle with like an R&B one with Omarion and Mario. And there's this moment. Shit. Lady Snow, Ivory Snow Play said, I'm never deleting this from my PC. And it's this clip of Ray J. Well, apparently, from all I've read, and I saw a few clips, Mario straight up disrespected Omarion, and then Ray J came out and he could barely sing. This, I just want you to hear this is it, just so you know, Ray J is on stage holding a sleeping toddler in his arms and singing this right now.
Superstar, wish to have a fancy car, wish to have a million bucks.
Let's go.
Well, I wish to know being in love. So feel me.
Oh, Ray.
Oh, Ray.
Ooh.
No.
Anyway, like everyone said, they said this versus was amazing because of a bunch of washed dudes trying to prove to themselves they still got it. And if anybody who is up on that era of R&B, it's quite an experience to watch.
Sir Producer Anna says there's apparently a clip where he blames the baby for not being able to sing. I guess he was like, I just didn't want to hit that note because, you know, that would probably wake the baby up.
So. Dude, there's a time when Omarion's singing and Mario goes, oh, no, y'all sound crazy. Like he says, like while they're singing, the amount of disrespect from Mario was fantastic, and it was so petty. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. What have I been enjoying?
I don't know, man.
JP McDade, like I've just been liking frustrated tweets that match my frustration. JP McDade said, "Hey, is it cool if I bring a random extra guy to lunch who will absolutely obliterate the vibe?" Which has nothing to do with the news, and that's the last one that I liked.
JP's great.
That description. Yeah, very funny. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy, Miles. What song do we think people might enjoy?
This is a track
called... Story of a Girl.
Say what? Oh, this is a story of a girl. It's called Berimbau, which is a Brazilian instrument, by the artist Bodikuu, Bodikhuu. And it's just like a good Brazilian little beat flip mashup. Just something pleasant, you know, to start this week. Take a deep breath and, you know, keep going.
Well, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. I should mention, if my energy was low, is because I had a sleeping toddler on my chest the whole recording. These guys didn't mention it, and I appreciate you guys. But if I seemed off, that's
yeah. All right, Ray.
All right, we'll talk to y'all this afternoon. Bye.
Later.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
way. Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.